Okay, then let's come back to Life Flight.
First, we had a helicopter that St. Francis itself leased from Rocky Mountain Helicopters. It had its own pilots and had its own EMTs, paramedics on board, nurses. That worked pretty well, and then we started sharing it with others, and this got bigger and bigger work than the hospitals really wanted to do, so they're out of that now, and now a private service has. We were doing very well. There's a lot of air ambulances going all over the state of Oklahoma helping out and doing well, and we've been without a serious accident, I think, the whole history of the whole thing. It's worked out extremely well.
St. Francis was the first to have a helicopter.
It was the first one, yes.
Here in Tulsa? How about the state?
I think in the state. Actually, the military down at Lawton would fly their helicopters to Oklahoma City.
I believe it was in 1979 in September, Life Flight was giving a demonstration over the great raft race at KRMG, sponsored down the Arkansas River. While they were having that demonstration, they got a call from Coffeyville, Kansas, and I believe there was a berth there, and they had to drop off the KRMG officials and then head up to Coffeyville, and that was actually their first call.
Being a ham radio operator, I worked the raft race. One time they had a hot air balloon, and it was really windy. The guy kept putting propane heat into it. It would go up and it would go down, and they'd say, 1, 2, 3, up it goes, 1, 2, 3, down it goes. The children all ran underneath of it. He'd say, get out of here, get them out of here. And that thing broke loose. And it took off, headed north, so I got the balloon man in my car and had a radio in there. We had telephones. We could actually dial things. I called one of the people I know and said, how do you get hold of the tower at the airport? They said, what do you need? I said, well, I need to talk to the tower out there. So, well, here's the phone number. So I called him and said, my name is Jerry Gustafson, and I'm a ham radio operator down here at this raft race. And a balloon broke loose, and I just want to let you know about it. And he said, oh, we don't care about those balloons. How big is your balloon, sir? 24,000. It's a hot air balloon. And it landed on a fire station up on Archer.
Programs for advanced cardiac life support, yeah. You were also involved in.
Yes, I was. We began to have more and more residents in the building. And they didn't have any CPR training. And they didn't know about the thing called advanced cardiac life support. It had been developed by one of the professors down at Parkland and also other universities. And I couldn't really find anybody who was very interested in this, I mean, among cardiologists. Because they said, well, we'll train some nurses to do it for us. You know, I think that we ought to have something a little bit better than that. So anyhow, I got to dealing with residents. Bill McEntee, who happens to be the cardiologist I see, was one of my first residents in first row. I never had a cardiac arrest, but I glow when I see McEntee because how much has changed. So much has changed. So here, a general surgeon was teaching cardiac care to the internal medicine residents. But the anesthesiologist said, we're not going to stay here and do all that heart work. Those heart doctors could take care of that in the middle of the night. What are you doing that? We're delivering babies up here for these guys that don't show up. Now the OB-GYN doctors are around, too. They weren't in the old days. So anyhow, that sort of built. And we started training classes. I was kind of the sponsor of it, and we'd have young residents teaching them, and certain doctors would come in and take them. Mark Friedman came down from New York, and he turned to a hot rocket on this. He was really, really great. He took over. He taught all the nurses that were working out in the cardiac care units and everything. He left and became a professor down at Arizona, University of Arizona. Hated to see him go. He was a little New Yorkie, a little brusque, but I love the guy. I mean, he was all business. But now I'm very, very pleased to know how everything's turned out.
And now at St. Francis Hospital, the numbers, 101,000 visits annually to the emergency room.
Yes.
Something you could never envision.
From that original small rooms, we expanded to some old x-ray rooms, and then we got our own bigger emergency room. Doug Wixon, who's now passed on, was a marvelous architect with Huggins, Thompson, and Ball. I helped him a lot on that emergency room. They used to laugh at me about my new design, but it was built. Here's the deal. You can't build an emergency room with a whole lot of rooms. Because every time you put a seriously ill person or injured person behind a door, you got to put a person back there. The way the military did it was they had big tents, and we'd lay out a lot of people. We put up some dividers between them, but you could hear and you could literally see, you could smell what was going on around. If you needed help, say, hey, come help me over here. About 1974, I think it was. Was that the year of the big tornadoes that came through here?
Yes.
I get a call from Cushing, Oklahoma. Could I come up there with some of my ambulances, Pat Mace ambulances? Because all the doctors, they were all osteopaths, they're all out at a convention, and we've been hit by one tornado, and there's another one coming. We've got trouble. So Mace drove an ambulance, and I drove with him. We got three ambulances. We took off. We got as far as the Pier 51 Marina out there. The big tornado was coming off that thing. And I hear this ham radio voice saying, we need help at Pier 51. We've got people in the water, people injured. So Mace dropped one ambulance off there. Then we got up a little further on the road, Farmers were clearing all the stuff off the road. It was just marvelous. We got up there to an intersection, and their two cars had run together. There was two college girls in there, and they were really injured. So we lost another ambulance that came down. So we get up to Drumright. Drumright was where the action really was. It was not coming out of Cushing. They just made the phone calls. They had one of these hospitals that was built after World War II, and it didn't have any windows in it, literally, and they didn't have any generators there. The first tornado hit at a retirement center, and there was over a dozen dead, but all the insulation from the roof had come down on top of the people, and they'd wrapped them in sheets and blankets while they were awaiting evacuation out of there, and then more would come down, they'd wrap them up, and they got to the hospital. There's no electricity, there was no water running. These people were wrapped like mummies, and inside, I had a flashlight in my mouth, and I was putting chest tubes in people and stuff. It was just like Vietnam all over again without electricity. I have to go out there and say, here's what we're going to do. You're not going to like this at all. And I tell the people, we might even kill them. But firemen, turn this hose on as low as you can and re-wet this thing and get it off of them. I don't care if they're stark naked out here. Get them in that emergency room. Mace was triaging for me. Triage is, if you're going to die, put them over here. If they're possibly saving here, and if they're walking wounded over here. So he was going through the mark slot pen and marking them 1, 2, 3, you know, like the military does. We had other ambulances showing up then, but we had people going to the hospital with broken arms and cars and everything. I think we sent 2 dozen down here to Tulsa to split them all up. But anyhow, that was another one of my Oklahoma experiences, that the system sort of worked. We didn't really have perfection because we didn't have any local things going over there, and we didn't have helicopters over there. But at least we had some responders and somebody to take charge, and it turned out okay.
So the seed that was planted began in 68 or so.
Yeah, worked out.
Was beginning to work out.
Yeah, sure did.
And then we should point out another number here. 22,000 patients then are admitted through the ER each year at St. Francis.
I was going to tell you about that emergency room planning. But in the new emergency room, we plan for 60,000. We'll never make that because that's 1/4 the population of Tulsa. Mm-hmm. They can't be 1/4 the population of Tulsa coming through this emergency room. Well, now they're doing like 50%. Where are they coming from?
Is there a different mindset today that we run through the emergency room for just a runny nose?
A lot of that. Everybody's got these minor care centers now built. They've got one at Springer. They're all over town. But they're
urgent
still
care
through.
And that type of thing. So they're taking some of the pressure off, but still the hospitals. And then how are they being reimbursed, which is another topic, and insurance, and that's driving rates up.
Well, this morning I was listening to NPR, the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority, says that 17% of the state of Oklahoma has no health insurance.
So we have what has been called Obamacare that's trying to address that, and we say that here in 2013 because maybe in 2050 people will look back on this and say, duh, you were still dealing with that.
Well, if you want to talk about that, number one, Obama made a mistake by not going for Medicare for everybody just off the block, but it couldn't be done. It would have been much easier, quicker, all the computers running, everything's ready to go, but it politically didn't happen. Now we have a governor who doesn't want this.
We have a Republican governor right now.
And so anyhow, if you look at the Tulsa World calculations, everybody's just talking about it'll cost us $689 million to do this over the next 10 years. But she doesn't say, if it doesn't work out, I can quit any time at no penalty. If we keep on going on our own, it'll be over $350 million anyway. They don't talk about the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. If you take the difference between the two, and the Kaiser Health Family Foundation report says there's 200,000 that can get full insurance. Tulsa World says there's 175, and I don't know what the real number is. But if you're talking about a $350 million difference over 10 years, $35 million on a $7 billion budget, it's a no-brainer. Now, here's the problem. We have a tipping point. If these people get insurance, they go to the hospital, get paid for, we hope your insurance will not rise. If they're not paid and they're all walking in, pay as cash, Aetna, Blue Cross, you're going to go out the window. And that's not right. Everybody ought to share this a bit. Florida's changed, Ohio's changed, Arizona's flip-flopped on the deal. Mary Fallon's not changed.
Yeah. About the numbers at St. Francis, we now have 65 Warren Clinic locations, 280 medical professionals at Warren Clinic, 810,000 Warren Clinic patients are seen yearly.
I was on the original board, if you look in the back of that book, about members of boards.
And they're talking about the 50th anniversary of the hospital, and you were in the back.
In the back of that book, board members and their tenure. I was one of the original guardian angels that started that with Cobb Flesch and Randy Mills.
Wow.
Also the laureate, also a whole bunch of stuff.